Bored with Friends Spotlight. Weird Giraffe Games.
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell that story because Zach wants to stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
All right, well, we got a little off topic.
Again, 40%. I'm lazy and I'm a mooch. What I do.
This is not that kind of podcast.
Hey, Zach here, just to tell you a little bit about today's Spotlight episode. So I recently had a chance to sit down and speak with Carla Kopp from Weird Giraffe Games, and to talk to her and ask her questions about her current Kickstarter, Stellar Leap. This is a 4X game that they currently are looking to fund. Carla got to tell us about the game's development, about the development of her company, and just overall, you know, how things are going and what's upcoming from them. So if you like what you hear, please, I encourage you, go on Kickstarter and check out Stellar Leap from Weird Giraffe Games.
So, for starters, you know, this is your second project, correct?
It is.
Yeah. Now, you're the designer of both games, or is it more of a team thing? Because I was reading up on the website for Weird Giraffe Games, which is honestly the name of the company is what caught my eye the first time I saw it. And it looks like there's a whole bunch of you involved. So this is your second game?
Yeah, so with the first game, there was four of us that were really designing and stuff. And, you know, there's a difference between designing and publishing. So when we were designing, you know, that's fun. It's fun to, you know, prototype, write things on note cards and stuff like that. But then when you have to, you know, iterate, you know, 100 times and keep playing the same game repeatedly, sometimes, like, that's not for everyone. So we went from having four people, like, all designing one game to basically just, well, me and Nick helps out too sometimes. Like, he does a lot of, like, the stuff that I just hate, like taxes and, you know, keeping track of all that stuff. So
the boring business stuff.
Yeah. Like, so I do a lot of it. And for Stellar Leap, I was like, I love designing and I love this publishing thing. And I went off and I just, you know, I did it. I made Stellar Leap. And Nick's helped out. He is considered more of the developer of it because I'm the one mainly running playtest. And, you know, after the playtest, being like, oh, okay, so we should do one of these three things. Which one should we do? Okay, I'm going this route and testing it from there. So that's really where we are right now, is where I'm the main designer and he helps playtest. And, you know, when I'm like, I don't know which of these two ways to go, what do you think? And he usually just picks one or, yeah. So he's like the decision maker when I'm like, I don't know.
He's your muse, almost.
Yeah. He's, you know, always there to play test. Because, I mean, you know that the games I make are going to have a great two-player version because, you know, there's two people that live in a house. And, you know, they just, you know, the spouses of designers are really good play testers. Or, you know, maybe the marriage won't last.
That's really good advice. I know I'm always looking for good two-player games. My wife and I, we play a lot of games, and it comes down to, is it good enough two-player? Otherwise, I'm not going to buy it. That's encouraging to know that this is going to be a good two-player game. Now, what would you say, you know, was the difference? Like, you had your first game, which was a very different title from this. What would you say you brought from the first design, you know, that the challenges of it, you know, going into this one? What did you learn? What did you change?
It was very different. I think I just learned more about, like, how to play test faster, how to, like, when I went for the first prototype of it, it was a much more put together prototype than the first prototype of Super Hack Override, just because I knew, like, oh, I shouldn't put a lot of words on a card because people don't like reading. So it's going to have minimal words. Like, I think on most of the cards, like on the planet cards, like it has a name and everything else is icons. And it's been icons for a while. So, yeah, that was an important thing. Like, just knowing how much people don't read, like, you find that out during blind playtesting when you watch somebody read and you're like, you you just missed that half of a page. Did you notice that? Like, but that's what people do. Like, so, yeah.
It's good that you can read people like that and, you know, make changes on the fly. So this game is a 4X game, from what I can tell. That's what it was described as in the Kickstarter, which intrigued me because I've never played any 4X games before. And I've been looking at several now, and this one caught my eye because it is supposed to be more entry level, which is what I'm looking for. It's got a solo mode, it looks like, too.
Yes, it does. Do you want me to talk
sure,
about it?
Talk about that, too.
Okay, so going into developing the solo mode, I'd never played a solo game before. Mm-hmm. So I asked Twitter to just give me a bunch of resources, and it did. In the important part of it about having a solo mode is having it be like super easy. Like, you don't want to be dealing with the artificial intelligence like for as long as you're dealing with you. So we have three different AIs in the game so far, and you play your turn and then the AI plays its turn, and the AI is like super easy. It's a bunch of do this, you know, if this then that. And the AI's turn is over in like 10 to 20 seconds. Like, it's super fast. Like, you roll dice, you put out its population. You do not track its resources because that would be a lot of work and, you know, that's not fun.
No.
You're tracking your own resources. Don't even look at that. So there's some like magic in there where it can do a lot of things that you can't do because it's just like magic resources. It has stuff, you know. That is the solo mode, and you have to be, it's not like a beat a certain score kind of solo mode. It's the AI has its own scoring that is different from yours, and, it's kind of hidden. Like, it's like something you have to calculate. That's another thing I learned about solo games, is it shouldn't be obvious what the AI score is, because if you know what the AI score is, then you want to calculate your score so that you know if you're winning or losing, and that, you know, like, that takes time, and you don't want to, like, stop in the middle of a game and be like, am I winning? So I made it kind of not obvious. But yeah, like, you want to get yourself into a good position and then into the game. That's basically how the AIs work, and it's also kind of hard. Like, you're not probably going to win on your first try. I actually took like 4 or 5 tries to win against each one. They've changed a little since then, but one of my favorite parts about the AIs is that, okay, you can play like against one, or you can play against two.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and that kind of changes the dynamics of it because, you know, each AI has its own strategy, but two AIs together, like, that's different. And it also kind of simulates more of a 3-player game because the game changes based on the number of players. Stellar Leap is when it's 2 players, there's not a lot of confrontation. Attacking in a 2-player game is just not incentivized. You just don't get that many points from doing it. But in a 4-player game, you know, maybe you should attack. Because it's more, when you have more players, it's, you know, more, like you're not just going to pick on one person. But in a 2-player game, you are definitely going to pick on one person if you're attacking, you know?
Interesting.
So, yeah, like, that's a cool part about, like, playing against two AIs is that attacking is actually viable. I haven't tested out, like, against all 3 AIs, but I really want to get that down in the next month and see if you can win. Winning against the 2 AIs is actually really difficult. But if you could play against all 3 and kind of simulate a 4-player game, also without taking up, like, too much time, because if you play against 2 AIs, then it goes like from 20 to 40 seconds to take care of their the AI stuff. But I'll have to see, like, just when it's just too much time.
How long does would a solo game take? Like, if you were just playing with one or two AI, like, what would be the time frame? Like, 30 minutes, 45 minutes?
So, each AI plays a little differently. So, there's, like, the game ender AI, and that one just wants to end the game. So, that could take 20 minutes. But with a couple of the other AIs, they're not interested in ending the game right now. They'll lead the game to an end, but those could take 30 to 40 minutes. If you specifically do not want to end the game, you could even take it out further. So Stellar Leap, it doesn't have a certain amount of turns. The end of the game is triggered by a certain number of events. So, and events are triggered by players. So if you decide that you're not going to trigger any events, you know, the game could just go on forever. It won't actually go on forever because you have to take actions. Like, you have to do something. Yeah. And you'll eventually, you know, trigger it.
Eventually it'll end. That's really actually kind of cool. I've never seen a solo mode that has multiple AIs. I don't play a lot of games solo, as I'm sure other gamers have said. It's deterring. You want to play with other people, real life people, but to have a choice of, you know, one, two, or possibly even three AIs, that's really interesting. I would be happy to try that out when the game is released, because, you know, I often find, like, yes, I play a lot of games with my wife, I play a lot of games with some friends, but it's difficult to get time to, you know, just play a game when you can coordinate and have everything happen. You know, people have work, people have school and stuff. So a solo game, as unenticing as it can be sometimes to think about, it's also sometimes your only option. Like, I have a Viticulture sitting on a shelf right now. I would love to play it. I haven't got a chance to. So I've been looking at the solo rules to try and try that out, which is pretty cool. Nice. I'm looking at the, you know, the artwork and stuff like that here. It looks like you have... It's a lot of space artwork, but I kind of really like that. Who is the artist on this?
His name is Tyler Harris. This is his first board game. Mm-hmm. I actually went to high school with him, so.
Oh, yeah. That's neat. Keep it local.
Yeah, like, well, always go back to your, like, 10-year, 15-year, whatever reunion, because you never know who you might meet and how they might help you. Because, like, I went there, and we were friends in high school, but you know, like, how you just stop talking to people? Yep. And I was like, I make board games, and he's like, I do art. And I was like, oh, you do art. I need art.
Time to network.
Yeah. Well, and, like, well, we really work well together, because, like, we know each other, like, for 4 years during high school, so it was like... Yeah, like, we know each other, like, just say whatever. Like, sometimes when you're working with someone... You don't want to just be like, hey, change these 20 things. I don't like any of it. But, like, since we were friends and we're, like, super comfortable, like, he dated my best friend for, like, 2 or 3 years. So, you know, I can just be like, yeah, this is... yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. Well, his artwork is really neat. I like the almost cartoony style. Like, it looks like it could be... This could be a universe of itself in a comic book or something.
Yeah, so he actually did a lot of comics.
Oh, well, that would be why then. I have to ask, where did the name Weird Giraffe come from?
So I'm just going to say up front, yes, there is. I am bad at naming things, okay? I'm terrible. I've acknowledged that. I let Twitter name things now. The name... My name is Carla Kopp, okay? Mm-hmm. And one, like, I really love animals. I grew up and I was only allowed to watch Animal Planet because my parents are crazy or something. But Animal Planet all day, every day. So I know a lot of weird animals, like the okapi. And I so this okapi, it is a relative of the giraffe. And it kind of looks like a horse-like creature with a really long neck, but also like the butt of a zebra. So it has like the stripes and it's brown up front. And it lives in the forest. Okay, it's this giant thing lives in the forest. And it wasn't discovered by like Western culture until 1901. So it's like super cool. It's like, really? 1901? It took you to find this giant giraffe creature in the forest? What are you doing? So I was like... cool animal. My name, Okapi Games. And I started telling people, and they're like, I don't, that's a jumble of letters, Carla. Because I didn't spell it like it was real. I spelled it like my last name. It was O-K-O-P-P-I. So even if you knew what an okapi was, you might not understand, like, that's the same way to pronounce it. It was different. Okay. So I yes, and I was like, okay. But it's such a great name. I just have to go and I have to make a logo. And so I went, and I went in Paint because I'm not a graphics person. What I know is I know how to pixel things in Paint. So I made myself like a little logo and I showed people and they looked at me and they're like, Carla, nope, don't get it. I do not. You are insistent. You're so excited, but nope. So I was like, okay, well, I have this logo. I don't get good ideas for names. So what is this? It's a weird giraffe. So I just, you know, pixeled out the letters, weird giraffe games, and, you know, well, part of this is that a lot of people don't like to tell me no. I'm kind of like, I get super excited and passionate, and I'm like, this is going to be great, guys. And they were just like, sure, whatever. We can have that as a name. That's incredible. Like, that's how it is.
So you came up with a really good pun using your last name, and nobody got it, and Weird Giraffe Games was born.
Yeah. It's like, it's still a lot of characters, but I like it. And, like, it is so cool, like, when I'm wearing, like, because I have shirts and hats and swag and stuff, and people, like, some people are like, whoa, you have something with an okapi on it? Like, when you know okapis, you get passionate about okapis for whatever reason. So it's just like a bonding experience where we're like, I'm like, you know okapis? And they're like, yeah, yeah, and you do too. And it's crazy.
That's really cool. Well, I'm going to have to research the okapi now. My daughters are really into, you know, watching that kind of thing too. I'll have to see if they know what one is. I don't think they do, but I could be wrong. And I would love to teach them about them. That's neat. Thank you for telling that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you might have to just bring them to Disney. Oh, Disney has okapis.
I don't remember seeing them there.
At Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, we did go for one day, but we didn't really get to look at the animals. We got stuck in a lot of long lines.
That's the best park. Okay, you have to go on the safari, and you'll see the okapis, and they'll be fantastic.
Oh, that was the problem. We didn't get to go on the safari. We wanted to, but that silly fake land, what is it, from Avatar, that had opened up.
Oh,
everybody was
Avatar Land. Okay. Yeah,
it wasn't as good as it though. I would have liked to have gone on the safari. Mm-hmm. And then we could have seen what the okapis were. Oh, well. Next time, because we're already planning the next trip. Because that's what you do when you become Disney fanatics. You go there all the time.
I know. And they have cruises and stuff.
Mm-hmm. All sorts of Disney family now. Against my will, but we're doing it. I like Disney, but I don't think I'm as obsessed as some people. I feel like it's a couple years, you know, between not a couple months in some cases. Back to the game itself, like what started the idea for this? Like, were you inspired by something, or was this just an idea that you've had kicking around for a while, or you just said, I want to make a 4X game, and you just kind of sat down and started doing it?
So sometimes I just get like a lot of ideas going on in my head. One thing about me is I live in Huntsville, Alabama, mm-hmm. which is Rocket City. Okay, there's NASA, there's the Space and Rocket Center. Like, well, I love space and science fiction, so that's always like a thing that I'm thinking about. But I also play a lot of games. I really love playing new games. And one thing I played around the time that I... before I designed Starleap was Machikoro. And Machikoro, you know, you roll dice, and I always rolled poorly, so I lost, and it was like, wow, I kind of hate this game. I mean, some people, there's no game that everyone likes.
This is very true.
And I'd also played Valeria Card Kingdoms, which is a really good game, but it has that same thing where, like, if you don't roll well, then, you know, you don't win. So I was like, I want to create a game that, like, it has dice and it has dice rolling, but you can do something about the bad dice rolls. You want to, like, put it in your favor a little. So I was thinking about, like, having variable player powers, so that each person, they have a different kind of power, but, you know, they can affect the dice on their turn in whatever way that they want. Like, and there was some player choice involved. Like, I don't want it to be like, oh, you turn it to a 5 or whatever. Like, you get to make choices that affect you and others. So that was, like, kind of the thing where I had variable player power, space, and I was like, you know what? What else is a good thing for these two to go together? And it was player interaction. I love when I'm, like, not bored during a game. Like, I don't, like, yeah, exactly. Like, you want to, like, have to pay attention, kind of. Like, so you, like, you always want to be thinking and doing. And that was the third part of it, was that I wanted everyone to, like, gain resources on their turn and kind of be invested in the game, even though they're not playing right now.
I like it. I think it looks pretty cool. Now, looking at the Kickstarter here, you have a expansion that you can also back with this, the Frontiers?
Yes, so Stellar Leap Frontiers. Mm-hmm. It adds a variety of planets, so it adds really focused planets, like planets you can only get one resource at, but you get a lot of that resource. It adds in asteroids that are, the asteroids in the regular game are just, you get one resource, but these asteroids are like dual asteroids, which are really cool. And then it adds in more traits. The base game comes with these 8 traits that are really good, and, you know, you can play them as a beginner. So in the expansion, they're kind of hard, okay? Like, they're not traits you would give to a beginner, but they're really exciting. Like, I like playing with them a lot because it lends to a variety of different strategies. And it also, they're harder to do, but if you do them well, you get a lot of points. So if you, there's a couple traits in there where if, you know, if you don't do the thing that the trait wants you to do, then you basically don't get anything. In the game, you're also given a choice between traits, so you never have to choose a specific trait. You always get to choose between them. So if, you know, you're never going to get two traits that you hate, you know.
Well, that's good. I wouldn't want that.
It also has this new card, which is a solar system completion bonus, where, in the game, you are discovering planets in the galaxy. And a solar system is defined by different columns. They're called the dice columns, and they're 1 through 6. They represent the dice. And you can put planets in any of these columns. So when you complete a column, meaning when you put either a planet or an asteroid under each die value, you complete it. This triggers an event in the game. But these add a new type of card, which is a solar system completion bonus. And when you do this, you draw 3 of the cards, and then you choose one, and that will change every planet in that solar system in some manner.
Each row of 1 through 6 is considered a solar system, and when you complete it, that causes that to trigger. Is this one of the end game event triggers also?
Yes, it is. Cool. So it makes you want to actually complete the events sooner, because then you get to dictate how all the planets in that solar system change. Like, is it going to benefit everyone? Is it going to, like, not benefit everyone? Like, there's positive and there's negative ones in there. So you can make it so it's hard to travel into that solar system, or you can make it really easy to travel into the solar system, or you can make all the planets generate more fuel or more oxygen. It really depends on what you want.
So if I had an opponent who was in there and I wanted to, I could make it a negative effect so that, you know, it kind of hinders their progress, basically. Or if I was, you know, had dominance in there, I could, you know, make it a more positive effect to try to give me, you know, an upper hand.
Yes, exactly. And if you do that, if your opponent is mainly in that solar system, they can always just leave the solar system, but, like, that takes, you know, a turn or two, and they lose a bit of time. So it's not, like, a permanent, like, they're going to lose, but, you know, just throw them a little bone, you know, make them deal with something.
And in the end, that's what we game for, is to mess with our friends, right?
Yes, exactly. Like, Stellar Leap, it's not a really, like, aggressive game. Like, you can't ever, like, just smash someone. Like, it's a family-friendly game. There's a lot of, like, safeties in there, so you can never get, like, too far behind. So, yeah, you can mess with people. There's a lot of, like, passive-aggressive things, but there's nothing that will, like, just kill someone and make them just give up.
So there's no friendship or relationship ending aspects to the game?
No.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I try not to make mean games.
Okay, good. I know Carcassonne is banned from our house at this point because of the farmer rule. So that's stuff like that. I'm always looking for fun games to that we can mess with each other but won't cause a fight. Yeah, that all sounds fantastic. So this being your second game, do you have games coming out soon that you're working on? Like, is there something, a sequel to this or a follow-up to this coming out that we can look
at? So there is. Specifically, I want to make a legacy version of Stellar Leap, but not really a legacy version, more of like a campaign, like a book of scenarios.
Okay.
Kind of to go along with it. So you'll need the Stellar Leap game, and then instead of just playing regular games, you get to read some story text and then make a decision, and then you continue playing, and then based on your decision, certain things will happen. Like, it's basically going to start off with you meet this alien species and they accidentally destroy a bunch of stuff, and you have to be like, hey, they said that they're really bad at stuff and this was an accident, but was it? So that's like really the basis cool. of it.
Is this going to be a follow-up Kickstarter, or is this going to be a regular release?
Yeah, a follow-up. Well, I'm going to probably do Kickstarters for, you know, the next couple of years or so, unless, like, I really blow up big. But I like to be more realistic, and, you know, Kickstarter is very helpful. So that is probably at least 6 months away. Like, I have the stories written, but I still need to do a lot of play testing and to make sure that they work out well. Other than that, I have this game. It's called Observance. Mm-hmm. It's based on stargazing. So in the game, you're an astronomer, and you are trying to identify constellations. And constellations need certain kinds of stars. And there's different classes of stars, like there's yellow and red and blue and white. And so you're trying to gather the right kinds of stars, but also night lasts differently in different parts of the year. For instance, in winter, night is really long. Mm-hmm. And we're also saying that astronomers only work at night because, you know, they have telescopes and stuff, and then they sleep in the day or something. You know, just put on the whole, like, yeah, astronomers work at night.
I follow. Yeah.
Yeah. So in winter, it's really easy to get everything you want done. But what about summer? In summer, like, you have about half amount the hours at night. You really need to get, like, certain things done or else you're not completing them. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of time management in addition to the astronomer thing.
I don't think I've seen many games with that theme, so that's pretty interesting. Is this another thing that you're interested in, so you designed the game around the theme, or did this start off with mechanics and or just an idea popped in your head?
So I really like games with bags. Okay, I don't know why. I like drawing things from bags and being like, whoa, this wasn't what I expected. So I was thinking about bags, and then I was in Denver, Colorado, and I was like, whoa, the stars are really cool. And then I was like, whoa, I should make a game about this. So it was like bags and stars and what do astronomers do? And I made like this big list of all these things I thought astronomers did, and I was like, yes. This is a game. I hope I don't offend any astronomers because, you know.
That could be the tagline on the box. No astronomers were offended in the making of this game.
I hope.
You just have to ask someone. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I will really look out for that one. I like Orleans is one of my favorite games, and I love the bag building aspect of it. So pulling things out of bags, it is fun. You never know what you're going to get.
And it's exactly.
More interesting than dice rolls sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
My other game that I've been working on is an abstract game. So how this one came to be is I was thinking about abstract games and I was like, man, I really wish I had an abstract idea. And then I went to bed and then I woke up in the morning and I was like, abstract color theory. So I kind of made that's really where it came from. So that morning I went and I prototyped it and I used squares and colors and I was like, you know, it's not different enough from games. So I was like, you know what's cool? Hexagons. So, you know, that's what it is right now. It's a hexagon and it's gardening now. Instead of just colors, how it became a gardening game is I went to gameicons.net, I believe. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's really helpful in making game stuff. And I initially went to abstract because I was making an abstract game. Mm-hmm. So the first version had all these abstract things. But then, like, when I went back, there was all these flowers, and I was like, you know, flowers come in different colors, like red for rose and yellow for daffodil. Like, this could be a gardening game. But then, like, it kind of worked out, like, with the hexes, and you're trying to, you know, make this really beautiful garden, and that's why there's color theory.
Oh, that's cool. It's kind of like lanterns. You know, it's essentially an abstract game, but you got a really cool theme put on there. Pasted yeah. Sounds negative. I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
However, people like gardening games. Is that more like tile laying? How does that work?
Yes, it should be tile laying. It's cards right now just because that's what I have, but it will be tiles whenever I get around to laser cutting it.
Okay. And what is the objective of the game? Like, you're trying to arrange flowers in certain patterns, or are you trying to... I don't know, more of a area control of your garden? What's the objective?
So you're trying to lay as many flowers as you can at a time and to create the most... basically, to get the most points. You get points for every line, like the longest line for every hex. So if you make, like... If you go out and you make like a bunch of lines everywhere that aren't connecting, you won't get a lot of points because like that garden wouldn't be really great to be in. But if you can place and make a really concentrated garden, that works out better and you get a lot more points.
Oh, cool.
So
that sounds like something my wife would really like. She likes tile laying. She's very good at that kind of spatial, you know, patterns forming and stuff like that. I will have to keep an eye out for that one as well. You got a lot of good stuff coming out. All right. I think you will blow up on Kickstarter.
Well, we'll see. I have to get through this month because, like, sometimes I'm like, well, my emotions are everywhere. Like, in the morning, I'm like, yeah, I'm awesome. And then, like, something happens and I'm like, I'm the worst human that ever lived. And it's like, whoa, up and down and whatever. I have pie and it's okay.
That makes everything better. You've already, you know, met your goal and you're moving on through stretch goals. It looks like you've hit how many? It looks like two by now.
Just one stretch goal so far. But we're getting close to the next one. It'll happen hopefully in the next week. That's like conservative.
Mm.
It could happen tomorrow. Who knows? We could blow up. It's a Monday.
Yeah, you're pretty darn close to it. And it looks like... you got some social goals too. Now, are those going to unlock more things? I'm reading through them really quick here. Sorry.
So if we get to all the social goals, we'll add in this card, which will be this kind of card where if you win Stellar Leap, you'll get the card and you'll be able to like take a selfie with it or whatever. You will be the Stellar Leap champion, you know, and so you'll have that until somebody else wins again. And
that's
kind of like a trophy thing.
Box topping without box topping. And you can save it as a picture. I don't like writing on my boxes, so I don't believe in box topping. But I do like the idea of that. I have a couple games. A lot of the kids' games come with that kind of stuff. And this is a family-friendly game, so when I introduce it to my daughters, they would love that. So I hope we reach that goal. Is there anything else you really wanted to plug or talk about in the game? Something exciting that you're going to reveal? Or
So one of the stretch goals I'm really excited about, well, one that's already revealed, is the fifth player expansion. I'm super excited about it because I like to play games with a lot of people. And the fifth player, it works out really good. We have play tested it. I know that some people do not play test their stretch goals, but we've play tested it. And the only reason it's not in the main game is due to cost. Mm-hmm. You know, adding in a fifth player means adding in 10 meeples and 12 chits and a player board. And, you know, we wanted the funding goal as low as possible so that, you know, just in case, mm-hmm. we'd still be able to fund. So I am super excited about that. I'm also excited about this player board stretch goal. We haven't announced it or anything, but have you ever played Dice Forge?
I have not.
Okay. So in Dice Forge, you keep track of resources, and it has these little squares that go through these punch-out boards. So they, you know, even if you knock the table, you're going to know where your resources are. So I want to do about the same thing and have the double thick player boards. Ooh. So that there's the indentations. So even if, you know, a cat just like has a panic attack and runs across the table, like, you know, like everything will be okay.
Absolutely. Kind of like a scythe has that. It's got little indents in it. Okay.
Yes, exactly like that.
I was blown away by that feature on Scythe, and I hope we reach that goal. That sounds awesome. Component upgrades are my favorite thing in Kickstarters because making the game look better is usually one of my things. Like, having thicker stock on the cards or something, because nobody wants a game that's going to fall apart too easily.
Yes.
You know, I know it's always about cost, trying to bring it down as much as possible, but then you get to see, like, well, if we make this goal, it's going to look even better. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. I hope we reach that one. Is that going to be after the fifth player expansion stretch goal?
It's going to be a certain amount after that. I don't know if it'll be directly or if there'll be like three in there. Mm-hmm. I have about 15 planned, and I don't think that we're actually going to get to all of them, but I still have to go through and prioritize. There are a lot of quality upgrades because, like, I am also a quality person, like everything quality. But we'll see. We'll see how far we go. And maybe it'll just blow up. Who knows?
Cool. Well, you got 25 days left, and you are rocketing pretty quickly through here. So, absolutely. Good luck. I mm-hmm. can't see you not hitting at least the fifth player expansion.
Yeah, I am so hopeful. And, like, it's not even been a week yet. So, hopefully we'll double at least. So, that's what they say. I don't know. I am, like, a numbers person. So, I'm constantly, like, looking at Kick Track, but also... Dan Letterman did this, he looked at 200 Kickstarters and found that on average you make 31% in the first 2 days and you make 25% in the last 2 days, but like that's an average. So I don't know, I just keep looking at the numbers and thinking like, oh, okay, so we'll probably make at least this, but we could make this. So it just depends.
Well, I'm hoping you kill the stigma that you have to have miniatures in order to blow up on Kickstarter, because that's really annoying.
Oh yeah, like I never want to deal with miniatures ever in a game, so I'm never going to design that.
I think what people have to do is either have a really small component game, like keep it, you know, simple, or they have to have these crazy, you know, miniatures and go nuts with that kind of stuff. You know, like it has to be huge or it has to be small. That's what I've noticed with the Kickstarters that I've been interested or looked at. The stuff that's the middle ground doesn't usually do as well, or it's more difficult to do. Mm-hmm. I've never run one though, so, and I don't think I ever will, hopefully, because the stress that I've, just from the interviews that I've done and people I've talked to about it, I don't think I could deal with that. So kudos to you for being able to tolerate this, and I hope you have a lot more pie stored up for it in the future.
Yes, I do. Like, it's... We all need to know how much we can handle and how to deal with it when we can't. And I know that, and the answer is pie. So just eat the pie, and then I'll be able to do whatever.
Do you end the day and saying it's going to be a two pie night or a two, you know, a two slicer or something like that?
Yeah, basically. Because like, well, I am like a super introvert, so like these kind of things, like I get so nervous. But then like, it's perfectly fine. Like people are just people. But like beforehand, I'm like, oh gosh, I just need to eat this entire pie, and then that'll be okay. I'll be able to interact like a human.
Fantastic. Well, you've been a lot of fun to talk to. Is there anything else you want to plug, or where can people find you and follow and check out the Kickstarter?
So the Kickstarter is at stellar-leap.com. I'm on Twitter as @WeirdGiraffes. On Facebook, Weird Giraffe Games. And you can reach me via email at contact@WeirdGiraffeGames.com. Feel free to contact me about anything. Like, I really love talking about board games and my games and just anything. Like, if you need advice or want to know things about Kickstarter, I have experienced it at least twice. So just talk to me. I love meeting new people.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Carla, for being on, and I wish you the best of luck with the Kickstarter. And I look forward to seeing everything else that comes on.
Well, thank you for having me. I also had a great time, and yeah.
Thanks.
That wraps up this episode of Board with Friends. If you have questions to ask, grievances to make, or comments to deliver, feel free to email us at boardwithfriends42@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at boardwithfriend. Like us on Facebook, or check out our website, boardwithfriends.blogspot.com. If you enjoyed this show, check out some other podcasts like The Say Report, The Local Multiplayer Podcast, or The Fan Holes Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.